I'm Gail Straub, and you're listening to She Explores.
The thing this year about canceling your thru hike is everybody's doing it, right? Seeing so many people cancel their thru hikes at this point or get off trail when they were already on trail, it feels like, I'm still part of a thru hiking community, and it's just a community that's making a very different decision this year.
This is Lindsay Falkenberg. She's talking about the thru hike of the Continental Divide Trail, or CDT, that she and her partner Kyle had planned to start in June. The CDT runs 3,100 miles between Mexico and Canada. Lindsay was going to hike it southbound and had budgeted about 5 months to do it. Many of us have had cancellations this spring due to COVID-19. Weddings, graduations, speaking engagements, work opportunities. I could go on, but honestly, I don't really want to. It's been a lot. So, moving on, even though I've never done a long thru hike, where you hike thousands of miles end-to-end on a trail like the Pacific Crest Trail or the Appalachian Trail, I've always been fascinated by them and the lessons and parallels you can find between a challenge like that and everyday life. So when I heard about thru hikers rethinking their 2020 hikes, I knew I wanted to talk to Lindsay, a writer I've long admired through her blog and social handle, Tandem Trekking. She's also been on this podcast a couple times, and I think her mom submitted a voice memo for the 50-plus episode, too, so that's pretty fun. It turns out that not through hiking also holds lessons for us. Same goes for a lot of the other outdoor activities that we love to do. We'll get the opportunity to learn from Lindsay after this.
This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Deuter. You might know Deuter for the technical hiking, backpacking, snow sport, bike, and travel packs they've been making German-engineered since 1898 for comfort, fit, and ventilation. But they also have an incredible community of leaders supporting the dream for a bright future. Later in the episode, we'll be checking in with Deuter Ambassador Nicole Brown, founder of Women Who Hike, about her takeaways from her time at home during the pandemic regarding personal and public land health. Learn more at deuter.com and find the perfect bag for your next adventure online at rei.com or your local online outdoor retailer.
This episode of She Explores is also brought to you by Salomon. Salomon is committed to making functional and beautiful products for running, hiking, skiing, and however else you like to get out to play. This year, Salomon is celebrating all the ways women experience their own inherent beauty, be it exploring on summits or along local trails, with a muddy face or sun-kissed cheeks, and everywhere in between. Whatever it may be, Salomon wants you to feel confident in your own skin and in the gear that supports your adventures when it's time to resume them. Keep an ear perked this spring. We'll be talking with Salomon ambassadors and friends of the show about what makes them feel beautiful on the trail and otherwise. Learn more about Salomon's wide range of shoes and apparel at salomon.com. That's S-A-L-O-M-O-N.com. Okay, let's get to know Lindsay, who is set to complete her Triple Crown this year. Would you identify as a thru hiker? Like, is that one of the identifiers you would use?
After hiking the Appalachian Trail in 2013 and the Pacific Crest Trail in 2016, it's hard not to identify that way on some level, and not all the time, obviously, but people start to catch on to like, oh, you seem to do a lot of hiking, like, and backpacking and other adventures. Like, what's that all about? And then I feel like eventually it comes up that I've thru hiked. And I think that that's such a big undertaking in a lot of people's minds that it does become a big part of your identity. And I think that I see it that way. And then also it's hard, not hard, but integral and central to Tandem Trekking, the Instagram account that I run. And so it also feels like a big part of that identity to have thru hiked and be planning on thru hiking again. So yeah, I would definitely say it's one of my identities.
What's been the cadence of your hikes?
AT was in 2013, PCT in 2016, and then this would have been in 2020. So about 3 to 4 years between them.
What's been the reason for the gap?
I mean, money is a thing, right? taking time to build back up savings. I also think, I mean, I see these very big adventures where you take multiple months off at a time as being a really like integral and like I want those things to be a part of my life forever, right? I always want to have a job or a profession or a career path that allows me to build in time for those kinds of activities because I think they're really important and shape you in ways that are different than just going out on the weekends or taking a long vacation. To me, that's all about like the long term. And I think taking these through hikes a couple years apart has been part of that process in terms of figuring out like, how do you actually live your life in between, not just like get through to the next through hike? That's actually something between the AT and the PCT, I really feel like I was not living my life. I was just like gunning for our next trail. And it actually made the PCT way harder because I spent a lot of the PCT being like, did I just like waste the last 3 years of my life waiting for this 5 month chunk of time? And so this time around between the PCT and our plan to do the CDT, I feel like I really did dig into what I was actually doing here in Seattle and really fall in love with it. And I feel like my time was well spent, which I think would have set me up to be very happy on the CDT.
Part of that life work for Lindsay was finding a full-time job that she loves at EarthCore in Seattle, which she was working at until recently when she was furloughed due to COVID-19.
I work for a company called EarthCore. It's a nonprofit here in Seattle that ultimately trains young leaders, but does restoration work. That's the service that we do on the ground. And restoration work is not considered an essential service. So we've been shut down since March 23rd. And as a small nonprofit, they also can't afford to continue paying all of us our salaries until we can go back to work and keep making money. So the company is kind of like on pause right now, which is really fine. And I think like I'm very understanding of the route that they've taken.
Yeah. Well, you can tell that you have the right heart for nonprofit work because I think, you know, it's a special thing to say that it's the right thing for the organization.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I think we all feel that way. I would rather I didn't have a job right now than we went under in the long run. It's a really good organization doing really good work. I want to see it continue in the future.
You were planning on taking a good amount of time off from work anyway, though, right?
Yeah. So, I had asked for a 5 month leave of absence to go hike the CDT, the Continental Divide Trail, and they had approved that. And I think that I'd asked for that back in, they had known for a long time that I was planning on leaving, but had asked for that back in February or January. So yeah, it had been on my mind that I was going to leave at some point, to go hike.
Lindsay had actually talked about hiking the CDT at her initial interview at EarthCore over 2 years ago. It had been in the works for a while. What was the preparation like this time around for the CDT? I mean, after already doing two through hikes, you're kind of an expert, right?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if I'm an expert. You're always learning new things. I think with the AT, we did minimal prep. And for the PCT, I went like way overboard. Like I did all of our resupply boxes and made all of our food from scratch and just like really went full tilt on it. And so this time around, I was like, happy medium, right? Like we're gonna do a happy medium. And that looked like I've done a lot of research about the trail. And it's definitely the most amorphous of the trails in the sense that there's a lot about it that's unknown. You know, there's a lot of the trail itself is just like less finished and there's all these like alternates that you can take and that's very accepted, which is different from the other two trails. And I mean, it just sounds like such an exciting, fun trail. There's so much about it that sounds really hard and challenging compared to the other two trails. The CDT's like tagline is embrace brutality. So it just sounds like a riot. So I feel like I'd done a lot of mental prep. And then I had also actually planned our resupply strategy, but had been waiting to, my plan was to go middle of the road and not make so much food this time. And I hadn't started that process yet. So I feel like I was just at the point where I was like, I've asked for this time off. And I think I know mentally what the trail is going to be like. I know what day we're going to start on. I know when I need to get permits. Like I know all the things we need to do. It was just a matter of like starting to put all of those processes into motion. And we hadn't quite got there yet when COVID happened.
When I think about, well, I think personally, and I think about trips that I've taken or big things in my life, like if I were to give a speech or something like that, when I first start preparing and working towards it, it doesn't really feel real to me. And maybe this is just a personality quirk, but like it takes a while for things to feel like, to hit me, like this is actually happening. Do you ever feel that way about a through hike? When, if so, like, does it start to feel like it's happening?
Yeah. Yeah. I think it comes in waves. I did a lot of the research and a lot of the food planning for the CDT last summer, just because I had some downtime and it felt like a really fun thing to plan at that point in time. Like I was really, really into it. And so it was feeling really real at that point. I was feeling like really immersed in it. And I was following a lot of hikers on Instagram and reading a lot of blogs and just feeling like really connected to the trail. And then I think I had done a lot of research and kind of knew what was up and there was really nothing left to research. And so I feel like I had some downtime in the fall where it wasn't that it didn't feel real. It felt very real, but I wasn't thinking about it as much. And then I think things started to get really real again when we started telling people. Because, you know, my supervisors at my work knew, but I hadn't like necessarily shared with other people that I worked with unless they directly asked me about my future plans. And then also like putting it on Instagram or reaching out to like gear companies that we wanted to work with. I started cultivating those relationships and that all started to feel really real. Yeah. And so starting to like set some of those things into motion and just letting people know, like, this is a thing we're doing, I think brought some of those feelings back. And so I would say January and February and beginning of March, things were starting to like really start rolling. And it was starting to feel like, wow, this is something we're going to go do in June.
And so then when did it start to feel like it wasn't going to happen?
Oh, man.
Lindsay's awareness of the pandemic mirrors many in large cities across the U.S. But being in Seattle, it all came a week or two earlier than the rest of the country. It was a slow realization that life was changing until it wasn't that slow anymore. Kyle also had a meniscus surgery planned for early April. So when non-essential surgeries got canceled, things started to feel real.
We were just starting to realize, like, this is on us. Like, we have decisions to make around finances and around, like, yeah, mostly around, like, finances and our jobs. But we also have decisions to make around public health and what we feel comfortable doing over the next couple of months. So, yeah, it all kind of dawned in a weird way, you know? and finally, Kyle and I both, I think, because we had asked for these leaves of absences from our jobs, we were at the point where we're like, we need to make a decision regardless of like, because I think some people might have been like, let's just ride it out until June and see what's going on. But I think both of us felt like, no, like if we're going to commit to staying in our jobs, we need to let them know sooner than later. This needs to be a decision that we make now and we need to feel good about it in June, regardless of like how things have played out. So yeah, I don't know. It all kind of piled up to the point where we were like, yeah, I think based off how everything's going and what the vibe is in Seattle and what's being asked of us to like be part of this nationwide effort to flatten the curve, like this is the responsible decision for us to make is to not go through hike this year.
Did you think back on your previous through hikes, the amount of interaction that you had with people, like what it was like to go through towns?
Yeah.
Was that part of it? Or was, I know you're kind of in a unique situation where you were planning on starting later and the guidance right. still isn't, it's still not clear, right? For later through hikes?
It's not, but the mere act of having to hitchhike alone is like, to me, I don't know how I'm going to feel comfortable doing that at any point until we're like, I don't feel comfortable getting in a car with somebody that I'm not in an isolation pod with at this point. And I realistically, like maybe in August or September, but I like June, like we're going to have to hitchhike right away. Yeah. I definitely think that knowing what a through hike is like and like recognizing all the ways in which you interact with people on trail and the lack of sanitation in many situations. And I know that there are still people through hiking and I know that it's fine, you know, and they're probably doing the best that they can. But if we have the choice not to, I think that that's a responsible choice for us to make. And the trail isn't going anywhere. And so I don't feel stressed about it. But yeah, I think definitely knowing what goes into a thru hike made it easier for me to be like, yes, like, you know, all my coworkers, especially when I was like, we're not going to do this thing. They were like, what? Seems like a great time to go be out in the woods for 5 months. And I was like, and that is the thing, is that people often don't understand that, like, you're not just in the woods for 5 months. You interact with a lot of people and you rely on a lot of people's generosity in order to make your thru hike happen. And it just doesn't feel like a great time to be asking people to be that generous when their health is also at stake. And, you know, there's all this messaging around like small rural towns that really don't have the like resources or the like healthcare facilities to like take care of people when they get sick. And those are exactly the kind of towns that I know we're going to walk through. Yeah. And so on so many different levels, it just felt like, yes, I can see how on the surface, this seems like a really great quarantine activity. I think for us, it just felt like we know what thru hiking entails and we know the risks at hand. And they seemed too high for us to undertake. And then I think to pile on top of that, things started happening in Washington, like all of the national forests shut down until September. And they might lift that sooner, but that's like a very conservative decision that they're making. And I think other states aren't at that point yet, but seeing that happen in a place like Washington, it's like that could happen at any point. And that just signals to me that this is really a time to take this seriously and hunker down and follow the most conservative advice that you can.
We'll hear more from Lindsay after this.
This episode of She Explores is brought to you by Deuter. You might know Deuter for the technical hiking, backpacking, snow sport, bike, and travel packs they've been making German-engineered since 1898. They also have an incredible community of leaders supporting the dream for a bright future. We're here with Deuter Ambassador Nicole Brown, founder of Women Who Hike.
So I'm at home in Southern California, and pretty much every day looks the same. So not every day is a great day. And I think that allowing for it is actually the best way to stay healthy. We were obviously the first stay-at-home order, which was a big deal in that also how it affected our public lands. A lot of people wanted to get out and they wanted to hike and they didn't know where to go. And they also didn't know exactly what the stay-at-home order meant for them. So one of the things that I hope to teach other people is understanding our local and federal public lands management agencies. So I really love and appreciate working with a brand like Deuter because I know that they not only care about community, but they also care about the environment, which are two big things obviously coming into play right now.
Learn more at deuter.com and find the perfect bag for your next adventure online at rei.com or your local online outdoor retailer.
Here on She Explores, we're passionate about remembering to absorb nature as we go. And whether you're making a bucket list of places you can't wait to experience for yourself or dreaming about your next getaway, a great place to find nature on a future adventure is South Dakota. We know what you might be thinking. South Dakota? Well, this landscape just might surprise you. Or you might already be familiar with South Dakota's many unique spaces to immerse yourself in nature, whether you're hiking, biking, birding, fishing, paddling, or camping. Like Badlands National Park, where bison roam and the rock formations belong on Mars. Or Black Hills National Forest, where you'll find waterfalls, granite peaks, and storybook scenery. Check out the glacial lakes and prairies of its northeast corner, or the Missouri River, where you can kayak, canoe, or stand up paddleboard. You can also learn about the indigenous history of the Lakota, Dakota, and Nakota through informative museums and art galleries. Give any of these gems a quick Google and find out about the unique South Dakota landscapes for yourself. If that piques your interest, continue your quest with the free South Dakota Vacation Guide. Download the guide at travelsouthdakota.com. We're back. Before the break, Lindsay shared that some people were telling her that now seems like a good time for a thru hike. She and I chatted about how I've gotten similar comments too about hiking and camping and backpacking. But for the most part, the outdoors isn't empty. We don't exist in a vacuum. There are often other people out there recreating too. And for that reason, at least for right now, we have to be cautious, especially in more populated areas. I asked Lindsay whether she has any friends who also had to cancel their through hike.
My roommates, actually, the people that we live with, really good friends, Molly and Josh, are planning on hiking the PCT this year. And they're in very similar positions as we were. They had just, you know, they maybe just told their jobs that they were going to leave, had done a ton of planning, and it's their first through hike. So, you know, they're like very excited about it. And the thing this year about canceling your through hike is everybody's doing it, right? And so it just, while it is crazy to cancel something that you have thought about and fallen in love with and just spent so much time and energy on already, and waited for years, it also feels like a collective pain in a lot of ways. And so like seeing them cancel their through hike and us doing the same and seeing so many people cancel their through hikes at this point or get off trail when they were already on trail, it feels like, yeah, it feels like I'm still part of a through hiking community. And it's just a community that's making a very different decision this year.
Does it, and this is like a tricky thing because I think we're all feeling like varying levels of loss right now, but people have it worse too. So it's like this tricky thing to navigate. Is there a feeling of loss for you with this CDT through hike?
Yeah, I mean, definitely. Yes. And I feel like, I think people should feel a sense of loss about not getting to do their through hikes. I think it's really hard because this is it's a dream, right? Like when our dreams get crushed for some reason, we should get to grieve those things, you know? And so, yes, I definitely am feeling the loss of getting to do that dream this year. However, I think I'm incredibly lucky. I think I'll be able to do this at some point in the future. And I feel good about that. And also I think I don't know if this is just because of who I am or what, but I just feel so lucky to have a place to live and family that would support me if I needed them to, and unemployment check right now. I mean, I'm having a hard time not feeling in my health, you know, like I feel really lucky that I'm healthy. Yeah, I think I'm having a hard time not focusing more on the things that I do still have in the face of so much loss for so many people. And I think at least for me, it's easier to grasp on to those things that I still feel really good about and kind of focus on that right now. And I think maybe a little further on down the road when everything's maybe hopefully someday going back to a little more normal, I'll be able to like really kind of settle into what it meant to not get to thru-hike this year. But right now, I mean, I don't know if you feel this. I imagine a lot of people feel this. The world just feels so unknown and yeah, wild. And it just almost, I think, would feel weirder to me to be planning for something that feels like a normal world activity. Like, I think what's keeping me sane right now is being in that boat with everybody else and feeling like I'm doing everything I can to like also help. And if I was just like business as usual, I'm going to go do this thing without or having weighed the pros and cons of it and its impact on public health, I feel like that would feel almost worse to me at this point in time. So I definitely think I've made the decision that allows me to feel responsible and feel like I'm part of the greater good. And that to me feels like really important at this crossroads.
Yeah, no, that makes a lot of sense to me too. Like I told you just over email, it's been tricky to navigate what kind of podcast episodes we're putting out. Like what's going to benefit people right now? Is it pretending nothing happened? Is it is it giving people space to grieve those things? You know,
absolutely.
Is it a mix of both? It's a mix of both. But I hear you on that.
I do think that it's really important that people feel allowed to be angry and sad and all of the things that they might be feeling about not getting to do their through hike. Like I'm not sure that loss ever needs to be like something that we get too comparison-y about. Everybody's lost things through this process. They're like seniors that don't get to go to prom this year. And I think they should get to feel sad about that. Mm. There's just so many things that people aren't going to get to do. No matter where they fall on the scale of like incredibly serious to completely frivolous, like we should all get to have space to like grieve those things, you know? So I feel like that's something that has been missed sometimes in the thru hiking community, is people wanting to push people away from their grief and try to tell them that there are other things that are more serious or important to be thinking about. And absolutely, like there are lots of other things going on in the world, but people should still get to, yeah, have those feelings about losing something that they were really, you know, hell-bent on doing.
Without feeling shame about it.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm going to make a really obvious statement. When there's a loss, it's because there was something that you gained, or something you had the possibility of gaining. I wanted to understand what that was for Lindsay. What is it that you're kind of left with after a big through hike that you were hoping to incorporate and fold into your life after the CDT?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's interesting, like, There are definitely things that you're left with after a through hike, but I also think there are so many things that you gain in the process of building up to it. And yeah, I think there's a lot that you gain in the process building up to it. I think there's a lot in terms of having these big goals on the horizon and working towards something. And if you're like me and you're a goal-oriented person, that can be a really wonderful motivator for many different parts of your life. But I definitely think like the reason that thru hiking is so important to me is because it is this incredible opportunity to go out and see what you're made of over and over again. And kind of at this point for me, I think it's like remember what I'm made of in a lot of ways, because the reason I get so freaking nostalgic about the AT is because that was really one of my first opportunities to just like push myself to the limits and see where those limits were, you know? And it's not that you like forget where those limits are. There are plenty of ways to like test that over and over again if you want to, you know? Like I think we've done a great job of adventuring, you know, on the weekends or on long weekends in the meantime and still finding really challenging things to do to figure out what our level of grittiness really is. But a through hike is a unique opportunity to do it for months on end. And there's something about that that builds in a way that just is very indescribable in terms of, I don't think you can like test yourself in the same way in a weekend. You can get a taste of it, but a through hike is really like the full deal meal. I think, and that's what you're left with, right? Is like a completely, either a new understanding of yourself or kind of a rediscovery of like what you're made of. And I was definitely like at that point in time where I was like, yeah, I do. I need that like refresh, right? I need to get back out on trail and just like kind of like find myself again and find what I'm made of again and just remember how tough I can really be. But you know what's so funny is that like, yeah, we're not going to get to do that on trail, but holy crap, am I discovering that in new ways right now? Mm. I've never been unemployed before. I've never had so much free time. I've never had to like create meaning for my life out of, you know, like it's just, life has such a funny way of being like, oh, you thought you're going to go do something really hard? You're not, but instead you're going to do this thing. And it's also really, really, really hard. And so I don't know. I don't know that I'm not getting that experience right now. It's just not the experience that I thought I was going to get.
So are there any specific ways that you're finding out what you're made of or like reintroducing yourself to yourself in this time?
Absolutely. I think I'm reminded, and this is something I am always reminded of on trail, but I'm remembering it right now too, which is that I'm like, holy crap, I'm really adaptable. Like, I don't know, you know, and I discover that every time I go out on trail, because you adapt. There's this, I think, I can't remember what, some famous female thru hiker, and I wish I could remember who it was, is it Anish? I think it might have been Anish. Somebody at some point, I read something and they were like, yeah, one of the things, it might have been Yogi actually. But anyway, somebody was like, when you through hike, what you have to do in order to get through is just tell yourself that what you're experiencing is your new normal. And then you just like adapt to that new normal and that's your new normal. And even if it's really hard, like that's what it is, you know, and you just adjust. And I think about that a lot. And I definitely do that when I'm on trail. Like, you know, you're like bopping along and then a new weird like variable comes into play. Like you have a blister or it rains for 5 days and you're like, you could either be really upset about that and just not be able to deal with it, or you could be like, this is my new normal and I'm just going to adjust to it and accept it in my life. And I think I hadn't had a real big challenge like that in a long time. And I was like looking forward to the CDT for that reason. And I got it anyway. So, you know, like here I am unemployed, having to make meaning of my time, having to like grapple with the fact that the future is unknown, which is a very strange feeling for me because I'm a big planner. And I've definitely had to just look at that and be like, I guess this is my new normal now. Like, if this is your new normal, what do you want to do with it? Like, how do you want to spend this time and embrace it and have it have impact on your life? So yeah, weirdly, I'm learning the same lessons.
What advice would you have for someone who was hoping to through hike one of the big through hikes this year and is no longer going to do it for, you know, the sake of public health?
I mean, yeah, I think my first piece of advice would be to grieve in the way that you need to and like feel the feels that you need to have and make sure that you have found community or that you're finding, there are a lot of us in the same boat. And so I think making sure that you're connected into that so that you don't feel alone in that decision is important right now. And also if you're still following people who are through hiking or are making a different decision than you, and if that is making you feel frustrated or angry or resentful, don't follow that person anymore. Like just stop paying attention to them. This is something I'm seeing in many parts of my life where like not everybody is making the same decision right now. You know, some people aren't being as careful as others. Some people need things that you might not need. And that can be really hard to watch. And if that's hard to watch, like take solace in you making your best choice and living your best life and doing the best thing you can for public health. And then just stop letting that other person into your life. I think that's really important right now for us to be very careful and intentional about like whether it's the media that we're consuming or the people that we're like allowing to impact us. You don't have to keep like following that person on Instagram or like paying attention to like PCT Facebook groups, you know, like it's okay to like put those things aside for right now. And then I don't know, start planning your next through hike. Like if that's helpful, if it's better, if it's easier for you to like put it into the future and be like, okay, that didn't work this year, but 2021 is my year, you know, like start to think about how that's feasible for you. The trails aren't going anywhere. They're still going to be there. This is still a possibility for people. So I don't know. It's going to be okay.
That's all really good advice. When you talk about the trail will still be there and potentially pushing a through hike to next year, do you think that's going to result in overcrowding or like a need kind of manage permits?
Yeah. It'll be so interesting to see what happens. I mean, the PCT is obviously already like a permitting nightmare, right? Yeah. You know, and maybe part of it too is, you know, this might not just be a COVID problem. Like this might be a through hiking problem or an outdoor use problem. Like,
yeah.
Yes, it might result in more crowding than there would have been, but that's a thing that we actually need to figure out anyway, in my opinion. And so this, maybe it'll just bring it more to a head. And maybe that's something that we need to be spending time thinking about right now is like, how do we get people out on trail and like make the outdoors a place for all, and also grapple with the very real fact that there are very fragile parts of places like the PCT that can't take that many people on them at once. You know, what do we do? Maybe those are some questions that we can spend this time reflecting on. I think that would be a good use of our time.
Yeah, I agree. I think there's a lot that you know, when everyone talks about going back, you know, to normal, and I've just seen it everywhere, people writing about how normal wasn't necessarily okay in a lot of different ways. So, like, to be proactive about it and to think about how to solve or, you know, mitigate some of the issues. And then just like we were talking about earlier in the conversation, with people having sometimes a misperception as to how many people are experiencing the outdoors in given places, and just changing that mindset. Like, it takes a long time to have a culture shift, but to just raise awareness about it in the right way, I'd be really excited to see people brainstorming on that.
Yeah. I think, you know, and I think while we're all in the process of realizing, like, oh, I can't, I don't know, I'm feeling this a lot, you know, it's like, I can't go to the mountains. Like I used to just have access to them whenever I wanted, you know, and that's hard, but also, like, maybe that's okay. Like, I don't know, just that, like, there are, man, it'd be cool if we came out of this and just realized that, like, we're all a lot tougher than we thought we were. And we all don't need access to all the things we thought we did all the time for the betterment of, like, the greater good, you know? And maybe there's, like, compromise we can make there in order to make the outdoors more equitable and in order to bring more people into them that didn't have access. But I just think like, this is a time when there's a lot of energy to create and think and reflect. And it'd be great if we used it for those things.
Absolutely. So the last question that I had for you was about whether, and you might not have, like, different advice for someone who had a different outdoor activity. I think you could translate it to through hiking, but whether you have any thoughts around if someone had another big adventure that they were planning, whether it was, like, a big traveling trip or a rafting trip or, you know, what have you, how to fill the space now or cope with that loss.
It's funny because I don't even think it has to be a big thing. Like, honestly, like, what I'm grieving the most is just, like, being able to drive to the mountains and, like, hike on a trail, you know? And I imagine that this is the same for a lot of people, like, people who mountain bike and, like, they can't just even go out for a day anymore, you know? And maybe things are different in different parts of the country, but, like, I feel like the general vibe in Seattle, King County, maybe more of Washington is, like, if you can't walk to it or bike to it, don't do it, you know, like, stay home. And so I almost feel like what I've been thinking about more, even more than, like, these big things, is just, like, how to grapple with, like, the potential long-term lack of outdoor time in general. And what can I get excited about right now that's not going hiking? Because I might not get to go hiking for a long time. The reality here is, like, national forests, which make up most of our access to the outdoors in Seattle, are shut down for the foreseeable future. And so a lot of my time has been spent being like, okay, I might not get to hike all summer. Like, I might not get to do those things, you know? And so, like, what does that mean for me? And what does that mean for my identity? Like, because, yeah, I identify as a thru hiker, but even more than that, I identify as, like, an outdoors woman. And how do you continue to have an, you know, I don't. And so I've been thinking about that a lot. I've been thinking about how are we resilient and find other things that, like, fill up our cups in times of a little drought. And so I don't know, there've been some fun ideas tossed around. Like, right now there've been some, like, weekend closures of parks, but for the most part, we still have access to, like, our water in Seattle. And so I'm, like, toying with the idea of, like, well, maybe I'll get a stand-up paddleboard or kayak this summer and get, like, really into water sports, you know, or, like, we've been doing really fun hill walks in Seattle. So we'll, like, come up with, like, a route and go and walk. Seattle has a ton of stairs. And so you can, like, come up with these routes where you do, like, 4,000 feet of elevation gain in a day.
Wow.
And just, like, walk up and down all of these stairs in these different neighborhoods. And that's been really fun and interesting. And, like, seen so many cool houses and really great views of the Olympics and the Cascades, and Mount Rainier. And it's not the same, but it's something. I feel like I'm just having to remember how to appreciate different things. You know, I've been doing a lot of art and reading a lot of books and really focusing on my relationships. I don't know. I guess my advice for people is, like, man, if anybody full on went into, like, an outdoor identity, it was me. And I have also now been able to like find other things that I still really enjoy doing and focus some time and energy on those things instead, recognizing that like at some point in the future, I'm pretty sure I'm going to get to go back to the woods and like revisit and like reopen that part of my identity. But in the meantime, I just am going to embrace this as like a breath of something different in my life and see where that takes me for right now. And I think that we can all do that. I think we all have the power and the resilience to do that and find some different things to fill our times and fill our hearts.
Big thank you to Lindsay for chatting with me. You can find her on Instagram at tandemtrekking and at www.tandemtrekking.com. Keep your ears out too. We'll be hearing from Lindsay on an episode later this year, maybe in a couple months. I'm actually not sure yet. Maybe just in a month. We'll see. But it's an interview that I did about her being a mountaineering instructor for Bow Alps in Seattle. It's all about leading with fear and how important that is. Before we get to the credits, here's another outdoor memory from Serena Clark that really aligns with Lindsay's story.
Hi, my name's Serena Clark, and I'm an outdoor enthusiast living in Seattle, Washington. What do I long for? In the outdoors, I often find immense joy challenging myself. I like to set big, wild goals, train hard for them, acquire the skills needed, and then go out and do it. The past few years of my life have really revolved around this repetition. I got into hiking 4 years ago after moving from the Midwest and slowly trained to do harder and harder hikes. I fell in love. Then it was backpacking, then alpine scrambling, sport climbing, mountaineering, trad climbing, and my newest adventure, skiing. I was hooked. These activities have sustained me and given me life these last few years. They've given me so many valuable friendships and memories I will never forget. Last year, I really spent all winter honing in on mountaineering skills and then the conditioning needed for that. I miss the camaraderie of training for something as a group and then trying to achieve a collective goal together. Last summer, I would go on to summit Mount Ruth in the North Cascades and Mount Baker, Glacier Peak, and El Dorado. I was hooked. In these separate and collective events, I had never challenged myself so hard, physically and mentally. I had never chosen to go to the edge and see what I'm really capable of and where the limit for myself exists. And the exciting part is, I haven't found that yet. In these challenging times we're going through, where I can't do these things that give me unexplainable joy, I hold on to the solace that I haven't found this limit and that more challenging and wild adventures are out there and to be had someday.
Thanks to our sponsors, Solomon, Deuter, and Travel South Dakota. Your support means the world to us. You can find She Explorers on social media, our website, and wherever you listen to podcasts. You can find me on Instagram at Gail Straub. If you enjoy listening, there are different ways to support us. You can subscribe, leave a review, and share with a friend. And if you'd like to connect, join us in the She Explorers podcast Facebook group. Music in this episode is by Lee Rosevere, Josh Woodward, Swelling, Kay Engel, and Maiden, using a Creative Commons Attributions license. The Deuter ad was read by Tori Duhame. She Explorers is a production of Ravel Media. We're off next week. We'll be back in 2 weeks.